Once again, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. We're going to talk about the same subject we've been discussing for the last couple of nights, folks. Now, I know I told you that, you're going to have to forgive me, my voice is failing. But I think I can get through tonight without any problems. I know I told you that I was going to give you the new frequencies and the new satellite, and I was working hard today, and I had that on my list of things to do. And lo and behold, about 3:30, I looked up and realized that the people I had to call were on the East Coast, and it was already too late. But I did call, and just as I had figured, they had left. So I will, and I promise you this, I will do that tomorrow, and I will give you the new frequencies tomorrow night. But I do know the one, it's 7.315, and you'll be able to hear The Hour of the Time on the East Coast on 7.315, and on a satellite, I believe it's Galaxy 4, Channel 15, and I don't know what the frequency is. But I will get that tomorrow, and we'll give it to you tomorrow night. So, don't go away. Got a lot of things to talk about tonight, and of course, we want to hear from you. Maybe you saw that movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. For many people that I know, they said it was almost like a religious experience, like the aliens were God. And maybe that's what it was supposed to convey. Anyway, let's see who we got on the line here. Good evening, you're on the air. Well, they couldn't hold. If you can't hold, don't call. You waste your time, you waste my time, you waste the listener's time. I don't know why anybody would feel that it was so important to call and then not be able to hold on for a minute. Anybody out there got an answer to that? Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a new listener, and
turn off your radio.
I'm done it now. And your tonight's topic is UFOs?
Yes.
Could you tell me what connection UFOs have with the New World Order? How are they using that in various forms of propaganda?
Well, number one, you need to put the phone right in front of your mouth and talk a lot louder and say that again so my listening audience can hear you.
Sorry about that.
Talk louder.
Yes, my question...
There you go.
Okay, sorry about that, Bill. My question is, how are they using the UFO propaganda in mind control? Last night you spoke about how they have the technology today. I'm not too familiar with that topic. Could you...
Sure, I'll be happy to. There is a series of studies that have been done over many, many years by many different people that all lead to the conclusion that governments exist to protect people. In other words, if there is no enemy, there can be no government. Government cannot survive without an enemy. They have to justify their intrusion into people's lives by saying, we are giving you protection from this enemy. Traditionally, the enemy has been other nations, other races, other people, other tribes. And in order to bring the world together into one government, number one, they have to do away with all the other governments, and they have to do away with war between nations and tribes and races and all of these things. And number two, they have to justify the existence of the new government, which is the world government. You see, it doesn't matter what we believe right now. It is an ultimate conclusion of mine that there has to be a world government sometime in our future. I mean, that's just a natural progression of things. To think that man could live on this earth all divided up like we are and warring with each other all the time for another 5 or 6 or 8 or 10,000 years is ridiculous. Eventually, we have to come together. How we come together is the question. Are we going to come together as a result of what we want, what we all have hashed out and debated on and agreed on? Or are we going to come together because we've been manipulated into it by somebody who has lied and deceived us and pulled all these shenanigans to get us to accept this and then rule with an iron thumb and take away individual liberties, which I happen to think is the penultimate achievement of man on this earth. Does that help you?
Yeah, it does. There was an article in today's New York Times about the Hubble telescope and how that they're now reevaluating the age of the universe.
Yeah, they're saying about 8 billion years.
Yeah, now they're saying 8. It keeps getting lower and lower.
Uh-huh. Well, you see, at some ultimate point, one of the goals is not only to do away with existing nation states, but they have to do away with all the different religions. There are thousands of different religions on this earth, all claiming that they are the only ones that are right, each and every one of them. And each and every one of them has their holy word or their holy writings, which they reference to prove that they're the only ones that know what they're talking about and that understand God and everything else. And a lot of the wars that have been fought in history and a lot of the problems that we've had have been because of clashes between these different theological viewpoints, irregardless of whether it's a caveman that worships a stone sitting out in the middle of a field, or the ultimate philosophical theology that emanates from places like the Vatican. And to do this, they have to eventually reach a point where they can say religion and science agrees. So the age of the universe and the age of the earth and the time that man was created and all these things at some point in the future have to come together in a way that everybody can accept it so that they can have one world religion. And that one world religion is going to be secular humanism, wherein man becomes God. Do I make any sense?
A little bit. I'm not too familiar with secular humanism, but I've, in some of my college classes, I've learned about humanistic, holistic approaches to psychology. And is that along the same line, or?
Well, I don't know, because I stay away from psychology simply because it's not a science. It's a scam. It's not based upon science. It's not based upon anything, really.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like required classes for...
I know, and it's one of the manipulations, you see. Psychology, throughout the years, has been narrowing the area wherein you can be normal. So as they do this, they slowly channel everybody down into this funnel, into this small little end, where if you deviate from that little definition of what is normal, they can then lock you up.
Yeah, I never trusted psychologists.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's been really cool talking with you, Bill.
Well, thanks for calling. You had some good questions.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks. I love to talk to people who ask good questions and who are willing to be polite. And I'll even allow people to disagree and argue or anything, as long as they're polite and intelligent about it. I love it, in fact. In fact, some of my friends disagree with me completely on some things. And occasionally we'll sit down and talk for hours, quietly, peacefully, intelligently, and still walk away not having convinced each other of our views, but in the process we've certainly cemented our friendship. I have gained much more respect for some of these people, and they've gained more respect for me, and we learn an awful lot in the process. Most people think an argument is yelling and screaming at each other. That's not true. And a conversation or a dialogue is a peaceful discussion between two people, in which an argument is presenting an opposing point of view without screaming and yelling at each other. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've been listening to your show this week. It's been very interesting. And I've been also looking at some of the previews for the movie, that movie, The Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
And I found some interesting things. I was in a toy store the other day, and they were telling the toys for the movie The Stargate, and it was really heavily into Egyptian mythology.
Oh yeah.
And basically the ruler of this other planet or so was supposedly Amun-Ra and things like that. But the thing about it is that I noticed that in some of the titles on the advertisers and things like that, there were a lot of French names. Do you have any idea if there's any connection between this and the Templars and maybe this little bit of their working toward this propaganda toward the New World Order?
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet. I haven't seen any of the titles. I haven't seen anything except the short blurbs they've had on the satellite when I've been watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, though, going on with what you'd asked the other night about some of those different people, that lady Vicky Cooper,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken, I heard her once on Alan Handelman's show,
mm-hmm.
and she was basically saying that from the reports, that some of the information that they had gotten, they were saying things like that the human race was seeded on this planet, and it reminded me an awful lot of some of the different things that they've had on different science fiction shows like Star Trek and stuff like that.
Sure, they have to do away with God. They have to do away with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they have to completely do away with the old system to bring in a new system where they have one world government, one world religion. They have to convince people that what they believed in the past has been totally wrong.
Yeah.
Where on my end, I don't want to do that to people. I want them to be able to believe whatever they want to believe as long as they're not hurting anybody else. I don't care whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
The only time I get angry or have to expose something or get into something is when I know that we're being manipulated because of deceptions and intentional lies.
Yeah.
If you sit down and create a theology on your own and you want to believe that, that's fine. But if your mother takes you to a church, I don't care what church it is, pick a name out of the air, Buddhist temple, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
If she takes you there and they lie to you and tell you that they're the only ones that are right and they cause you to get in some kind of a frenzy and you devote your life to this church and put all your money in their coffers and everything, that's wrong.
Yeah. Yes, it's been interesting to hear your show. I mean, these things they talk about, a new world order and things like that, and yet you go back and you see their writings and they say supposedly that they're actually the oldest religion and that their religion is the mother of all religions on the earth.
That's right, the mother of harlots.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it's been nice talking to you, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you for calling. What's going on, folks? Is there a full moon out there tonight? I'm getting intelligent callers every time I pick up the phone. This is incredible. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, last night I believe you mentioned the Disney studio which had the landscape of the moon, and you also...
It wasn't a landscape. It was a full, complete mock-up of the moon, a huge moon inside this sound studio.
Okay. That and also the... you mentioned the fact that the photographs that we saw of the moon landing were a hoax, whether or not the moon landing was a hoax.
They may have gone to the moon, but what we were watching on television and what they have shown us as photographs that were supposedly taken on the moon were not taken on the moon.
Okay, well, that's what I'm getting at. Can you tell me how I may demonstrate that fact to someone else?
If you had been here when we had our conference, you would have had... approximately 6 hours education into all of those photographs, and it would have been pointed out to you, and technical facts would have been given to you, and you would have been able to see with your own eyes and make a presentation as good or better than I did.
Are those conference videotapes or other tapes available of that?
No, there were too many things that we did and too many people involved in teaching it. I was going to make videotapes available, but I just can't because it would put... It would put some of my guest speakers and some of the people who were here in danger.
Can you give me just any rough idea of the type of evidence that you found, or is it?
Well, no, I can't do that over a radio program, over a telephone, without being able to show you the photographs and show you the technical specifications on things like Lunar Orbiter 4 and the optical resolution that it was able to present on a film strip. No, I can't do that.
Okay. The evidence then is such that someone skilled in photography would be able to...
Anybody who is really good at photography and has studied the moon or the physical or geographical dimensions of the moon and the optics in the spacecraft that supposedly took these photographs would be able to spot it immediately. I mean, like that.
Okay, but it's not a matter of just the background, like star patterns or something like that.
No, but I'll tell you one right off the bat that you can verify for yourself.
Okay.
When the lunar model, my tongue is tied around my wisdom tooth. When the lunar module, you see I've got a lozenges in my mouth so that my throat doesn't tickle and I don't cough in front of 10 million people. When the lunar module touched down on the moon, and the first man, we all know who that is, got out and creeped down the ladder and put his foot on the moon, there was a photograph taken. And that camera was not on the lunar module. Who took the picture?
Oh, okay.
I mean, you've seen it a million times, and it never, ever clicked in your mind.
Oh.
Everybody out there listening has seen that photograph, and it has never registered that that camera was not a part of that module.
Okay, now I know what to look for. Thank you very much for clearing that up for me.
There's a lot of other things. Supposedly, there's no atmosphere on Mars. I mean, on the moon. If there's no atmosphere on the moon, there can be no particles in the air, no molecules of air to diffract light. If the light cannot be diffracted, you can see no detail in shadows. In other words, it'll be completely black in shadows and glaringly, brilliantly white in the exposed parts to the sun, because there is no atmosphere to filter the sun. It's brighter than anything you've ever seen. If you think the sun is bright when you look at it now, look at it with no atmosphere.
Okay.
But yet in those photographs, you'll see that the resolution of the film is as if it was taken in a studio. You can see detail in the shadows, and you can see detail in the highlights, and there's no film on Earth that can do that in those conditions.
Okay, the dynamic range of the film.
Absolutely. See, I have a degree in photography. That helps.
I'm aware of that. Thank you very much. I wondered what the nature of the evidence was and what where to look for, and you've clarified that quite well. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Good night.
God, that's 3 out of 3. Boy, let's don't stop this roll, folks, because I love it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. How you doing?
Good.
John calling from Maine. Don't know if this fits in or not, but how about the experiments that was published in a book on a Philadelphia experiment, time travel? Supposedly Einstein's theory of relativity that we have today is not his actual theory. How does that have anything to do or play in with UFOs?
Total manipulation, total bullshit.
Okie doke. Well,
let me tell you what the Philadelphia experiment really was.
Okay.
During World War II, we developed something called degaussing for our ships.
Correct, yep.
I was in the Navy. I was a quartermaster. That was my primary rate. And when I was on board ship, I navigated and I operated the degaussing panel on the bridge, which, theoretically, if the metal in the ship was the same way it was when you crossed the range and measured the magnetic signature of the ship, when you adjusted your degaussing coils, you would nullify the magnetic signature of the ship, so that if you went through a magnetic minefield, the ship would be invisible, so to speak, to a magnetic mine.
Right, okay.
And would not be blown up. So in that sense, it was an invisibility technology. It made the ship invisible to magnetic mines.
Yep.
But so that the Germans wouldn't know what we were doing, and also to strike the fear of God into their hearts, the Office of Naval Intelligence, Counterintelligence Division, planted the stories that we had, in fact, and agents went all over the place concocting these stories and planting them and talking about ships disappearing and all that kind of stuff. And some of these deceptions actually made it into a couple of newspapers, and it did keep the Germans occupied for a short period of time.
All right, because I know they're still using degaussing on ships today.
Yes.
And I just was curious how that fit in, because that would make sense that would be a good way to manipulate people,
yeah,
or whatever, by making them think that you could transfer objects from one location to another.
Sure. And it scares people. You can't fight the New World Order. Look at the technology they have.
Oh, yes.
I'm telling you, you can.
Yes.
Some little guy in Somalia had the entire military forces of the United States of America running all over the place and couldn't find him.
Yeah, all except for the news cameraman.
Yeah. And they were using the most sophisticated equipment and technology in the world to find this guy.
And
they couldn't
did.
Find him. And he was communicating with his troops all over the city, and they could never figure out how he did it.
Yep.
You know how he did it?
No, I don't, but it's amazing to me that he did. CBS and NBC and everybody had no trouble finding him.
It's not amazing to me, and I know how he did it, and I'm not going to tell you over the air, because the militia is going to do it when the time comes.
I'm glad to hear that. Okay, thank you very much, Mr.
You're welcome.
Yep, bye now.
Bye. In fact, he was so successful that they had to negotiate with him and make him the king, so to speak. They don't really call him the king, but he's in charge there now. And that's the way it should be. You see, we invaded Somalia. We didn't go there to feed anybody. It was an invasion. We weren't asked. And when the patriots in Somalia opposed our invasion, the propaganda machine swung into gear full first and called them terrorists and warlords. They were patriots opposing an invasion of their country. And thank God they won. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Just one point here. Are you aware that UFOs have been reported for centuries? There are many reports from the 1800s that give exactly the same descriptions that we see today. Now, how do you explain that?
Well, I don't know that what you're saying is true.
Well, all I can say is I've read articles on books from the 1800s that give those descriptions of UFOs.
Give me a name of a book and the author from the 1800s so that I can find it and read it, and I'll read it on the air for everybody.
Well, there are some in the library.
No, I don't
have them at my fingertips here right now.
Well, you said you read them. You must remember the name.
No, I can't. I don't remember it right, but I can look it up and send it to you.
Okay, do that. I would appreciate it.
And how would that explain? What kind of technology would have built those things in the 1800s?
Well, wait a minute. Like I said, we don't know that there were any in the 1800s. You haven't shown me the book that you read, and I can't find any.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I've been researching this for years. I can't find any. Now, you show me one. You send me the name and the author and where I can find the book. I'll get it through the interlibrary loan system. I'll read it, and if what you say is true, I'll read it over the air.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you. Folks, that's the kind of stuff that permeates this UFO thing. Somebody says something, and everybody takes it as fact. I don't. You tell me something, you got to prove it. If you can't prove it, I'm sorry. Nothing personal. I've just learned my lesson. A long time ago. You see, I used to be a sheeple, too. In fact, I was one of the dumbest, stupidest sheeple that ever lived. If you want to know the truth. But somehow, thank God, I grew up. And I'm not going to fall back into that trap. You can if you want. But I'm not. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Bill.
Yes?
Oh, I didn't expect to get through here.
Then why did you call?
Well, I heard this guy talking about the space program and all the Walt Disney stuff, and a good video for him would be to see the For All Mankind that was put out by the astronauts. And I believe the astronauts were trying to tell people a lot of stuff where they couldn't come out directly and tell them what was going on, but they have a lot of hints in there about things that were faked, and they have them playing the 2001 Space Odyssey during their flight, and there's one spot in there you can actually see springs like they're wearing a little jumping outfit with the dirt covered over it, and one of the astronauts makes a comment that at least these suits bend in the waist.
Yeah. Also, there's one memorable time on the moon when they had the cameras rolling and the whole world was watching, and they planted this flag, and they forgot to put some wire in the flag, and there was a breeze blowing in this hangar where they were filming all of this stuff, and the flag started rippling in the breeze, and there's no atmosphere on the moon. I just was rolling on the floor. I was laughing so hard. It was unbelievable. And you can still see that, by the way. The video is around, and you can get it.
I think I have a copy of that somewhere, too. And
so you've seen it, too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the National Geographic, there's a lot of pictures. There's one that shows the astronauts standing next to the lunar module, and there's shadows coming from two different directions.
Yeah, that's because they've got fill lights so that you can see the detail in the shadows, and they can't have the main lights too bright or you'll lose detail in the highlights. See, film does not have that kind of latitude, especially back then. They got much better films now, but even films today can't take pictures in that kind of latitude.
Yeah, and even you were talking about the Disney studio there too, and they had a show about the astronauts a little while ago, and they Buzz Aldrin's wife was talking and said when he first came back that it reminded her of a Disney movie.
Well, it was. Okay, thanks for calling. You really...
Yeah.
You had a good, some good stuff there.
Right.
Okay, for new listeners, I forgot to do this. For new listeners, the phone number is 602-337-2524. any other time, that's our fax number. So if you ever want to send a fax, that's our fax number. When we're on the air, it's the call-in line when we're taking call-ins. 602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
A couple of days ago, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, they had Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a big hoop-de-roo about UFOs over Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the, about six or seven different home videos of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked surprisingly, well, not surprisingly, but they looked almost identical to the picture you had in your book. And I thought I'd just call and tell you that.
They might be identical, because what's in my book was a real craft flown by real people that used to reside in a hangar at Norton Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, they were fuzzy and they were blown up and all that kind of stuff, but they had the same basic shape and looked like an aircraft of some sort. You know, it didn't have all the flashy lights and all that kind of stuff, but you could tell it was of that shape.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
Thank you.
Okay.
602-337-2524 is the number. And remember, if you call and we're right in the middle of a break, which we're going to be in a minute, don't hang up. And if you're going to hang up, don't call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill Cooper. Bud from Texas.
Hi, Bud.
I'm an ex-Navy man myself.
Good for you.
And I have an experience. I was a photographer. And I was first-class photographer in the mid-50s stationed at Naval Air Special Weapons in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of T-80 work. And of course, you know what that was.
Yeah.
We'd go to El Centro and China Lake, places like that, do some tests and stuff like that.
Yeah, China Lake is an interesting
China
place.
China Lake, right. About time there. Anyway, we took off in an AD-5 one morning, I guess about the middle of the morning, and there was, I think, five of us in the detachment. And if you're familiar with Albuquerque, the east-west runway at the Curtin Air Force Base there, parallel Highway 66, we took off to the west and hadn't got airborne too long. We wouldn't probably up, maybe 1,000 feet, I don't know. And the seats in this, I'm a little nervous, excuse me, in this 85, it's the passenger version of the old Skyraider. Well, there's a seat facing aft and a seat facing forward. I'm sitting there facing Jim, this third class, and he's looking down the ground. He says, "Birch, what's that down there?" And I looked, and I said, "Well, I was an ex-bike racer, and we used to have scrambles out there in the desert in New Mexico." And this was just north of Interstate at that time. It was Highway 66. And there's an object on the ground, looked like the top of a reservoir. And I said, "Well, it looks like the top of a reservoir," but I said, "There's no reservoirs out there." He said, "No, the thing's been moving." And that's what he means. Well, when I first saw it, it was sitting still, and it started moving in a straight line for like 100 yards around, you know, the typical disc that they saw back in the 50s. Moved in a straight line, parallel in the direction that we were going. This was the middle of the morning, both cold, sober, good visibility. And it went probably in a straight line for like 100 yards. And then it turned to the north towards Santa Fe. And this thing accelerated out of sight in a matter of just a few seconds. And so Jim and I said, "What did you see?" And he told me what he saw, and I told him. We both agreed we saw the same thing. And so it was a typical, you know, the typical saucer story.
Yeah, but you see, you tend to, and many other people tend to, imply some great mysterious thing to this, because you're not aware that this technology existed. The Germans developed those kind of craft before and during World War II.
I heard you say
at least four different governments got pieces of their technology, and the scientists, we got a lot of them. They've been developing them in secret for many years. The first disc technology that I can determine that was developed in the Western Hemisphere was by Avro in Western Canada, where they built a whole city just like we did for the Manhattan Project. They did for Avro in the wilderness in Western Canada. And the first flying saucers that were ever sighted, to my knowledge, came out of Canada into the northwest United States and went right back into Canada.
Well, this object was, I couldn't estimate this. size, I would say, was, you know, 30 to 50 foot. And it looked, you know, it looked round, around the outer ring, you know, how they'll put a little rim around a plate, sometimes a little gold rim. This looked like it had a little red rim around the edge. And as it got towards Santa Fe, Santa Fe is, I think, about 60 miles from Albuquerque. Well, about halfway up there, we could see the sun reflecting on something on the top, like it might have been a, you know, a canopy or something like that, kind of in the center of the object. But this thing disappeared, just diminished in size, and just a matter of a few seconds, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't think that we had the technology, something like that, and I don't believe in space aliens either. I think if anything, it's like you say, it's probably a hoax, and I believe it's probably Satan's perpetrating hoax myself, personally. But I just thought I'd bring that to your attention, and since you was an old Navy, I heard you say you was first class, and I was first class for about 10 years myself before I made chief, and I retired in 72, and I just thought I'd relate that to you and see what you might say about it.
Well, I can't say much about it because I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But
it's interesting, though. We didn't tell anybody. We got back to the squadron, and we wouldn't tell anybody because they thought we had flipped our lid or something, you know. But
yeah, I know.
We saw it very, very clearly in, you know, good weather, clear day, you know, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, good visibility and everything. So it's kind of an interesting situation anyway. Well, listen, I enjoy listening to your program. I just would like to say one thing. I disagree on one thing. I do believe the Bible from cover to cover, and I wish you knew my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ like I do, because I believe that as much as I believe I'm talking to Bill Cooper.
Well, thank you for calling.
Okay, Bill. Good night.
Good night. And I might ask, how do you know that I don't? people make a lot of assumptions out there. See, on the show, I deal with facts. What I believe in my heart might be an entirely different thing. But I have a big audience out there, and I have an obligation to tell them the truth and talk about facts, things we can prove. And I would never, ever attempt to put my religion on anyone else. I believe that it is morally, ethically wrong. You see, Jesus didn't do that. A lot of Christians say they know Jesus. They don't know Jesus at all. Jesus never did anything like that. He would stand by the side of the road, and he would talk about what he knew. If people stopped and listened, he would talk to them. If they got tired and walked on down the road, he didn't follow them and harangue them and tell them they were going to hell or anything else. He let them go. You don't tell me about knowing Jesus. That was a nasty little trick you pulled at the end there of your conversation. Don't do it again. You don't know Jesus. I know Jesus a lot better than you probably ever will, because he never would have done that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. My name is Tim. I'm from Mechanic Falls, Maine, and been listening to you for quite 2 years, and I believe a lot of what you say, because I can feel the sincerity and honesty in your voice.
Oh, please don't do that.
Well, anyways, I'm going to send you a photo of something that's not human, that's walking on 2 feet, and there was five of us that were abducted, and
you can send me the photo, but how are you going to prove to me that the photo wasn't made on the set of Star Trek?
Because it was one of my friends that took the photo, and I eyeballed the alien, and the alien talked to us in English. What was interesting was what we saw, and the way it talked. It talked in our heads like we had a radio in our heads. There was no echo like a PA, there were some other things that happened to us physically, which were confirmed by physicians.
Wait a minute. What physicians?
Physicians in Lewiston, Maine, St. Mary's Hospital in Lewiston, Maine.
Can you send me the medical record signed by the doctors?
Well, I went to the hospital because there's a local...
No. I ask you, can you send me the medical record signed by the doctors?
They said that they do not exist. I kid you not, I was there at the hospital.
What does not exist?
The records that I even was there.
Oh, good night. Another one of those loony... Doctors are not part of the government, folks. They're not part of the intelligence community. Doctors do not make records disappear because you saw an alien. The truth is, you belong in a mental institution. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Even though this might be one of those things where we pleasantly agree to disagree, but I'm an amateur astronomer.
Uh-huh.
And, people, the pictures on the moon, people thought at first before they took any pictures up there, they'd have a real problem because of the lack of atmosphere, lack of suspended particles. But what they found was the reflected light filled in the shadows.
Oh, baloney. Don't tell me that. I have a degree in photography. I know what film could do then, and even if it did fill in the shadows somewhat, it could never make up for the discrepancy between the difference in the shadows and the difference of that glaring light straight from the sun without going through any atmosphere.
Well, I think they call it the albedo or whatever, the reflectivity of the moon is about the same as an asphalt parking lot. It only reflects so much light that appears to us because of the sun is so bright. I know what you're talking about, and I know that was something that was a great discussion before. And
it's not a discussion; it's fact.
Well, and the camera you were talking about, where was the camera mounted that took the pictures of the first guy on the moon?
Yeah, it's not on the ship; it's off on the moon's surface.
If you look at
I've looked at all of them. I've looked at them under microscopes. I've blown them up to the pixels.
When they start taking the TV, when the cameras, when the picture starts...
You're talking about the video. I'm talking about the still photograph taken with a camera on film.
Oh, you're not talking about the video when he's coming down the hatchway from the camera on the exterior of the ship.
No, but even that.
That camera was there and it was folded in. And what you see when they first start rolling and transmitting is the camera is unfolding itself from the side of the ship. It was folded into the side of the LEM.
Well, I think you're stretching things quite a bit. And
if you can go to the Smithsonian and see the camera.
I've already been there. I've already seen the camera. I've measured the angles. I've done all of those things. But specifically, the photograph that I'm talking about that everybody has seen, and I said photograph, I did not say video,
was
taken with a camera on the lunar surface looking directly at the ladder. It was not a part of the craft. The craft wasn't even big enough.
No, that was a handheld. It was probably one of the Hassan blocks. It's a straight down shot, right?
No, it wasn't a down shot. It was a shot at the man coming down the ladder. The camera was on the moon's surface.
Well, I'd have to see that one.
There's a whole bunch of things. There's one where one of the astronauts supposedly has this aura around him. Have you seen that?
I think I know what you're talking about. Isn't that a light bloom off of his white uniform?
No. What it is?
Huh?
You know what it is?
What?
That's where they tried to airbrush out the background and didn't quite get it all done before somebody snatched the photograph and put it in the files.
You know, I have as much fun with these kind of things as the next guy, but there are too many astronomy.
Hey, have you ever seen somebody walking around glowing?
Have I ever seen it?
Yeah.
No.
You ever seen an aura?
No, I haven't. I've never seen an aura.
Have you examined that photograph under microscopy?
I guess I've seen what they call Krillian photography, and I don't know how accurate that is, but...
Well, this wasn't taken by Krillian photography. It was supposedly taken by Hasselblad with Kodachrome film.
Yeah, I just know that there's they left reflectors.
I can also show you a hospital on the moon that's about 18 miles high, about 46 miles wide, and about 46 miles deep.
Okay, now
I can show you a series of barracks on the moon that had to belong to Cyclops.
I have a telescope that would be able to capture that. And is it on our side of the moon, or is it on the far side?
What I'm trying to tell you is it's in the photographs, but there ain't nothing on the moon.
Well, is it there or not there in your...
It's not there.
So it's just something, a photograph somebody doctored.
That's exactly right.
You ever see the picture of the beast?
All of those photographs, let me take that back. Not all of the photographs, but a lot of the photographs that come from NASA have been doctored to make people believe that there are alien artifacts on the moon, including obelisks.
Oh, well, certainly the amateur astronomy people don't believe that. They don't believe there's... I mean, I haven't met any...
That's not the point. You're arguing the wrong point. Why is NASA giving the public fake photographs, you dummy?
I don't know. Frankly, since I haven't seen any of them...
Then why don't you go look at them before you make this big mistake you're making right here?
Well...
If you'd have come to this convention, I would have shown them to you. We spent about 6 hours looking at them. From NASA, official NASA photographs. They didn't come out of my closet.
I have, like I say, I haven't seen them. What books?
Then why are you defending this position?
Well, I'm not. This is so much defending it as an amateur astronomer.
Astronomer has nothing to do with photography.
Well,
now tell me something about what you've learned by being an amateur astronomer.
What have I learned?
Yes, about what's out there. Anything?
Sure, great.
What?
I've learned about the asteroids. We have asteroids out there, believe it or not, that actually have orbiting moons.
Well, that's easy.
Very big.
That's easy to believe.
It shows the effects of microgravity. I've done my studies on, part of my studies has been on Mars. I've used some of the Viking, I'm working on the water concentrations on Mars and what appears to be erosion. You know, that's some of the stuff that I'm working on. And it used to be almost unbelievable years ago, and now people begin to accept it. You know, that there was flowing water or a flowing liquid on the surface of Mars.
If the photographs that you're looking at are really photographs of Mars.
Well, if they're not, and they're really good fakes, because what I'm looking at is not...
Did you see Star Trek?
Yeah, I've seen Star Trek.
Boy, they had some good photographs of other worlds in there, didn't they?
Hell, they're all fakes. I mean, I'm talking...
How do you know they were fake?
How do I know they're fakes?
Yeah.
Because they're none of our nine planets, and we don't have that good of photographs of anything else.
Ah, so you admit they were good photographs, right?
Well, they're not photographs on Star Trek. They're computer-generated...
But they were really good, weren't they?
They're almost too good, sure.
Yeah. I ask you again, how do you know those photographs came from Mars?
Well, for one thing...
Because NASA told you, right?
No, Earth's observations, you can see the dark and the light patches on Mars.
Well, that doesn't mean those photographs came from Mars.
They do when they come out of when they come out of my camera, they do. When they come off my telescope, I mean, I know.
No, I'm talking about the photographs that NASA puts out that says are of Mars, particularly
what I'm telling you is,
one with a face in it.
Well, that, you know, I don't know that NASA is so much putting that out as, you know, have you ever seen...
Then who's doctoring the photographs? They come from NASA, don't they?
You can get a face on the Earth that size.
Sorry, bud, you're so lost in the sheeple factory, you can't even see the nose on your face. Unbelievable. I hate to cut you off like that, but, I mean, you're lost. You've got your head buried in the sand. You have an argument, but you won't listen to another argument, and your argument is based upon absolute ignorance. Grant you can get a telescope. I can get a telescope. I can get a big telescope if I have enough money, but I could never see in that telescope on Mars what NASA is telling us to believe is up there, and neither can you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, excuse me. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening.
I've been hearing your conversations about space in general. I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. The worst that can happen is if you just don't demonstrate a certain level of intelligence, I'll just hang up, and that doesn't hurt.
Yes, I've been noticing that all night. I've recently read a book called Moongates, Press Findings of the Moon, published in 1982. I believe the man's name was William Bryan.
Yeah, and he had a lot of evidence and facts way beyond photographs that proved that they didn't go to the moon.
Excellent book.
Yeah.
I saw the first printing. I don't know if that's as far as it went or what, but I recommend it. And I was just wondering what your feelings were on that book, and I guess you already told me. So.
Oh, yeah, he had some fantastic facts. About
the neutral point.
Yeah, and he had some hard physics facts, such as the payload, the weight of the rocket, the amount of fuel that it carried was impossible to even get it out of Earth orbit. And he proved it right there. I took it down to a scientist, just the figures. I didn't tell him what it was. I said, suppose that I was able to build a rocket that weighed this much and carried this much payload and was of this dimensions, how much fuel would I have to get it out of Earth orbit? And he sat down, and this is I'm not going to say his name because he doesn't want to be bugged by the whole world, but you would all know who he is. He sat down without knowing that I had given him the dimensions of the Apollo 11 rocket. He sat down and figured it out and gave me a figure for fuel that was way, way more than the rocket could even carry. In fact, he told me, he says, you couldn't get this rocket out of Earth's orbit.
Really? Well, like what was all the fuel for that lunar module? That's intriguing, just in its own right. If there is really an atmosphere and the 64% gravity of Earth, as opposed to the 1/6 gravity that we've been led to believe,
right?
It's astounding. I can't say much more. Thank you.
You're welcome. Also, if you watch those astronauts hopping around, they weren't hopping around in a 1/6 gravity environment. Nothing there demonstrated a 1/6 gravity environment. It was incredible. It's incredible that people buy everything just because they're told. They don't ever check anything. Most of these things that we're talking about tonight are easy for people to check. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, Mr. Cooper, calling from Columbia, South Carolina.
Hi.
Yes. Three questions. Is there a joint base on the moon between the U.S. and Russia?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I tend to think that somebody's up there that's human, and it's probably us and the Russians.
Uh-huh.
I know that we've had a hidden space program ever since before World War II, in fact. Forrestal, James Forrestal, before he was murdered, actually talked about United States satellites in orbit in the 40s.
Was that the one they threw out the window?
He discussed this publicly. This is on public record.
They wanted everybody to think he was crazy.
Pardon?
They wanted everybody to think he was crazy, I think.
Well, I think it was a lot more than that. I think he discovered a lot of things, and they had to shut him up because he was going to eventually talk about it.
Yeah.
And he knew they were going to kill him, and that was making him paranoid anyway.
Okay. How about these spacecraft that this country and some other countries have made, these UFOs?
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. We've had this secret space program since the 40s, and they've developed it to the point where these craft can do amazing things. I've watched them out at the test site, owned and operated by the United States of America. I've watched them take off and go up into space at such an unbelievable velocity that I don't even know if I could get an instrument to measure it.
Did anybody ever estimate how fast these things can go?
I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to estimate it. It's faster than, I mean, it like leaves the ground and is out of sight like almost instantly.
What?
Yeah.
And they don't have any problem with G's and stuff like that?
I don't know. I don't even know if there's anybody on board.
Okay.
All I know is that they exist and they belong to us, the ones I've seen.
Finance these things. They get the money from us.
They get the money from drugs. Ask Ollie North.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one that's trying to run for senator now. Yeah, okay.
That's how they finance a lot of these black projects, and the bringing into fruition of the New World Order is by drug money.
Uh-huh. Are these vehicles able to go to other planets?
I have no idea. I suspect if they can leave the atmosphere, they can go to other planets.
Okay. You think there ever be a day that we ever find out what is really going on with these vehicles?
Let me tell you what I really believe.
Uh-huh.
I don't think any government is ever going to tell any people that are ruled by that government the truth ever.
Mm-hmm.
About anything.
Yeah, isn't that something? I tell you. And all this knowledge is kept amongst a small group of people.
That's right.
I just wanted to say one question. I was trying to figure what purpose does Colin Powell serve? I'm being a black man, and this New World Order thing, it has to, I guess it's supposed to be, from what I've been hearing, it's supposed to be very detrimental to black people.
And if the right side wins, blacks and Hispanics will disappear from the earth. If the other side wins, there will eventually be one race.
Okay. So there's more than one species participating in this.
There's four major powers participating in this.
Okay.
British Freemasonry, French Freemasonry, which is the heart and soul of communism.
Okay.
The Vatican.
Uh-huh.
And International Zionism.
Okay, the Jews.
No, I didn't say Jews.
Okay.
There are more Christian Zionists than there are Jewish Zionists, and a lot of Jews don't believe in Zionism.
Okay, what actually is
there? Never can be anything pinned upon a whole people or a whole church or a whole anything, because not everybody ever goes along with everything.
Mm-hmm. What actually is Zionism? I don't know.
Zionism is a way to manipulate people into accepting eventually a world government ruled by God's chosen people.
Okay.
And they perpetrate this dream through the delusion or the manipulation, if you will, that it's for the preservation of the state of Israel, which is pure bunk.
Okay. Okay. Now, this thing that's going on in the Middle East now, I know it's part of the...
For instance, Jerry Falwell is a Zionist.
Okay. Okay. So this thing going on in the Middle East now, are they trying to make peace with Jordan? Are they running over there to make peace with Syria? I know it's costing a lot of money.
Yeah, but you're not watching the right players, you see. Who's really doing this is the Vatican in the background is bringing this all about.
Do they have power over our government?
Who?
The Vatican.
The Vatican has power anywhere there are Catholics, and especially where the Knights of Malta and the Knights of Columbus exist.
Okay, Knights of Columbus, eh?
And don't forget the Pope's militia that's called the Jesuits.
I used to be a Catholic. I went to Catholic school all my life. And the
Jesuits are the militia of the Pope.
And if
you watch very carefully, who's igniting these little Marxist uprisings in third world countries?
They call them the Black Popes, right?
No, they call the head of the Jesuits the Black Pope.
Oh, the head of the Jesuits. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this, I tell you, and I really appreciate the information. And I'm just trying to find my way through this fog. And this guy that you mentioned earlier in Africa, this black man that they declared was outlaw. I thought he was working with this government.
Well, things change. They can change instantly depending upon who's willing to make a concession and do what somebody else wants.
Oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, he's outlaw, and then...
Yeah, they have no loyalties. Ask Admiral Poindexter.
Yeah. I saw the movie Clear and Present Danger, and I think that kind of depicts, I guess, what really goes on in, as far as governments and people. Have you seen that movie, Clear and Present Danger?
No, huh?
That's a very good movie. It shows you how they set you up. You know, you're working for them. All of a sudden,
I don't know why everybody's running around being so loyal to all of these people, because they'll screw them in a second anytime it becomes expedient for them to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Ollie North.
Ask
John F. Kennedy.
He really had me. Now, John Kennedy, he was a player also, right? And I was trying to wonder, why would they want to kill him? I guess because he wanted to bring the boys home from Vietnam and all that money that was spent on these helicopters.
Yeah, don't believe all that stuff.
Huh?
Don't believe all that stuff. He was a New World Order player, too.
Yeah, well why would they want to kill him? I mean,
I don't know. Ask Marilyn Monroe.
I tell you. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I'm enjoying this, and I mean...
You know, there was a time when I thought it was all unbelievable, too, but now I know that there is nothing beyond the realm of possibility or belief, and I know that whatever my worst nightmare is today, in 3 weeks, it's going to come true.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And, you know, all these movies that I see in the movies, I know that they have a particular a meaning to it,
It's the greatest propaganda machine that's ever existed upon the face of this earth. Television and movies working together have ensured that the sheeple will never have a brain.
Okay. One last thing. I noticed that these black people are killing one another, and it's just unbelievable. It seemed like...
Somebody's talked them in to do it, and they're sheeple like everybody else, and they've fallen right into the trap.
But you know the thing that I've been noticing, and I might be crazy, but I noticed these darn big radio towers going up around different places. It's like a three-prong...
They're going up all over the country, and some date in the future, they will flick a switch.
Go ahead.
And ELF waves will... go out amongst the population and strike everybody absolutely dumbstruck.
God dang. And they tell you about it's for cellular phones. But I know.
Well, they say it's for cellular phones. They also are erecting some towers that they're claiming that they're for communicating with submarines in the oceans. But the towers in Kansas, you know.
but I notice that they're near the highways. I've been through Georgia, I've been through South Carolina, I've been through...
Now, some of these towers, I got to tell you, are really for cellular phones.
Yeah, but I'm saying they have other applications also.
They do, and some of them we've already identified and confirmed have ELF radiating equipment on them.
Frequency, right?
Yeah, it's extra low frequency, and it can be used to control the mood of a population.
Uh-huh. They can control people...
No, only the mood. They can inflict moods with ELF.
Oh, mood.
so
in other words, on voting day, they can make everybody feel so depressed they don't go vote.
Okay, so they can't make you just go out there and kill somebody, like kill.
Not with the LF, no.
Okay.
They can make you depressed to the point where if you were already depressed to start with, you might kill yourself.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. I've been having my own ideas and odds.
You know what? We've been talking. It's been so interesting. Time's up. I got to let you go.
All right, I'm sorry, but hey, I enjoyed it.
It's okay. Time's up. I got to let you go. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody, and God bless you all.